What's up, everybody? You know what happens on Mondays, then now you get something from the archives. Enjoy this week's inspiring motivational interview, and we will catch you later on in the week as we start to share with you some of the best tools and tactics, everything having to do with sales. Let's go. Welcome back to Elevation Nation, everybody. I'm your host, Kaylin, and I'm here with a good friend of mine. His name's Lionel, and he is a Think It Into Results coach with Bob Proctor. And he actually makes his living working with real estate professionals, whether they're in mortgage, title. He can explain the nitty-gritty, but what we really wanted to bring him on is he has a very fascinating story about overcoming limiting beliefs and how you, my friends, can do the exact same thing. So Lionel, welcome so much to the show.
Thank you so much, Kaylin, for inviting me.
Yeah. So first of all, tell everybody in your words what it is that you do and perhaps maybe more importantly, why you do it.
Okay. Well, I am, I work with Bob Proctor directly. If you're not familiar with Bob, he has been teaching on mindset for over 60 years. And so I work with him directly, helping people to really understand how their mind works, like you said, how to overcome those limiting beliefs. And so basically, my primary is working with small business owners and just really helping them overcome the frustration of not living their potential. So I teach people to take control over their lives and discover that greatness within them. So, and I do this just by coaching them to understand how their mind works and help them to learn, you know, how to live from the inside out rather than letting the outside circumstances determine their success.
How do you know when you've reached your potential?
Well, that's a great question. I really don't think that we do, to be honest. I think that there's just too much that once we reach a level, we're going to move to the next level. So I don't think in this lifetime that we're actually going to reach what we're capable of.
And what is the secret to living inside out? Because I mean, we all go through things and we don't necessarily understand why things are happening. And yeah, external events, they're tough. Like, how do you not respond to that? And how do you stay true to your center?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have our senses that are connected to our conscious mind. So you got your see, smell, taste, touch, hear. And those are all basically like antennas that are sensing the outside world. And this is what most people respond to. Right now, we're dealing with a COVID crisis, if you will. And people are allowing all of that they're hearing, everything that they see, that they hear, they're allowing that to determine how they feel and how they respond. So the inside, we have some God-given gifts, and inside it would be like, for example, our perspective. That is a gift that we have within that we can begin to look at things from a different view. So change the way you look at things, the things that you look at change. So we can look at it from a different perspective. Like, yeah, this is bad, but what's the good in it? You know, what is the good? What's happening in this? And if we were to talk about COVID, we could talk about a lot of good that's happening as a result of this bad thing. Another one of those would be our imagination from the inside, using our imagination. So once we become aware that our imagination is a powerful tool, unfortunately, a lot of times people use it against themselves. They use that imagination to make up stuff, you know, to think of, oh my gosh, if I do this, this is what it's going to happen. So maybe in business, if I call this CEO, you know, gosh, they could tell me no, I could be embarrassed, I could mess up this. Well, why not think about what's good? Think about what's the good in this and use that creative mind to really draw out what we want. Because you know, this is what we spend our time thinking about is what it literally is going to come about. So if we're thinking about the negative, that's what's going to come about. So use our imagination to think about the good, think about the things that we really want and desire.
Are our thoughts actually a choice, or are there some things you just can't choose that it is what it is?
So I believe in our subconscious, in our conscious mind is a choice. So if you think about our mind being broken into two pieces, you've got your conscious mind and then you have your subconscious mind, and sub being under or below. So that if you think about it like that, if you drew a circle and drew a horizontal line across it, and you put your conscious mind at the top and then your subconscious at the bottom. Conscious mind, we have the ability to think, to choose, to create. We can come up with, that's where we have that ability. A thought may pop in randomly, but we have the ability to reject that. The subconscious mind is completely different. It does not have the ability to make any decisions. It cannot accept or reject. Whatever is planted into the subconscious mind, it has to accept. So think of it like the soil, the dirt of the ground. If you were to take and plant a seed of corn, and then right beside it, you know, just 2 inches away, you added a nightshade or poison. The ground doesn't care. It's just going to produce whatever was planted in it. And that's the way that our subconscious mind works, is the things that are planted into our subconscious mind are the things that, this is amazing, but it's literally like 95 to 99% of our actions are subconscious. It comes through our subconscious mind to our actions.
Right. So, okay. So I might be going through some stuff, right? Like let's pretend, as always on the show, we get real, right? When we have these thoughts that are planted, how do we know that they're actually thoughts worth paying attention to, or it's our moments of craziness?
You mean the thoughts that are popping into our mind?
Yeah. How do we know if it's something that we should trust or go with or cast aside? And I think, you know, when we were talking offline, you know, you have an interesting story about this. How do you know if you got to choose the thoughts that you've picked up on from other people's interpretations, or if there's something else there?
Well, I believe that what God has for us is good. And, you know, I think if there's something that's coming into our mind, like I'm stupid, for example, that is not a thought that that would be right. So, all right. So let me tell that story, and then maybe that will kind of illustrate what you're saying here. Is I was raised in a broken family. So mom and dad divorced whenever I was 4 years old, and lived with a stepdad. My mom was married several times. My dad was, I think, married 7 times.
Wow.
And so it was, you know, unstable, if you will. And I was in, let's see, the eighth grade, I guess. Yeah, I was in the eighth grade, and I got in so much trouble. I was flunking out of school. I was a solid student, DF student. I was. And I just did terrible. You know, I was a drug addict. You know, I was just a little punk. And mom got tired of it. She said, "You're going to go live with your dad in Oregon." That's the first time I moved to Oregon. And as I lived here, I became a straight A student. And it was easy. I mean, it was not hard for me at all. And I began to realize, wow, I have some real potential here, man. What is going on? What's different? Well, I went from being, like I said, a DF student to a straight A student. I wrestled that year as a freshman, and, you know, wrestled varsity that year. Well, so it was never that I didn't have that potential. It was always there. It was the change of scenery. It was the change of people in my life. And my dad spoke very positive to me. He helped me. He supported me. Well, one day I came home from school, and my stepmother, she was jealous, I guess, of me, because it was just her and my dad. And when I came and lived, now I was, you know, taking up some of his attention. So when I came home, she parked herself right in front of the TV that I was watching with the ironing board and started ironing there. And I'm sure I told her something ornery. And she just looked at me and she said, "Lionel, you're so stupid." Now, what had happened was, I was talking about the subconscious mind earlier. I already believed in my subconscious mind that I was stupid. I believed that from living with my mom. I believed that I was not intelligent. I was a failure. I was always a mess up. You know, people were always telling me, "Hey, straighten up, Lionel, quit doing all this, you know, stupid stuff." So I believed that I was stupid, and that was in my subconscious mind. Now, when I began to succeed, I was like, "What is going on?" I did not understand it, but I knew that there was a lot more to me. When she told me that I was stupid, what she did was she affirmed something that was already in my subconscious mind that I already believed about myself. So she woke that up. And what she did every single day when I came home from school was said, you're an idiot. You're a failure. You'll never succeed at anything in your life. Every day I came home, this is what she said to me, you know, 16-year-old kid. And it was shaping, I guess, for me. And immediately my grades dropped. I ran away. I said, okay, I'm not going to live at my dad's house any longer. And I just, you know, changed my life. But it's really powerful, these words that people will speak into our lives. And so for me, stupid is obviously not true. I mean, I knew that that was not true yet, but I believed it. Now I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I know that I'm highly intelligent. I have massive success, and my ability is really endless.
I apologize. What I think you're saying, though, is if you didn't believe at some level subconsciously that you were stupid, her words wouldn't have impacted you the way that they did.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because if I had told if somebody else who functioned at a really high level, and you told them they were stupid, that's just like water off of a duck's back. That's just like, that doesn't even, they're like, what? That doesn't even apply. So that's why it's so important to plant the right things into our subconscious mind on purpose. That's the great question, right? So the way that we do it is the subconscious mind is the emotional mind. Okay? And the conscious mind is the thinking mind. So what we want to do is bring things into our subconscious mind and do it on purpose with emotion. So, for example, when somebody says, you know, you'll hear about, affirmations. So somebody wants to use, you know, speak out affirmations. I'm a great salesperson. You know, I go to a class and they're like, I'm a great salesperson. I'm a great salesperson. I'm a great salesperson, you know, but it really doesn't have any benefit. They're just saying words. Now, if I take and say, I'm a great salesperson. I help people. I support people. I help bring knowledge. And when I visualize this in my mind, I see people's lives being changed. I see people literally giving me a hug. I see people shaking my hand and saying, thank you, Lionel. Thank you. I am so glad that I said yes to this program. This has been so beneficial. Oh my gosh, my life. So I'm visualizing these things. Now, I don't know if you just felt it. Of course, it's personal to me because I just felt that. It's emotional to me. And when I
can hear your voice change.
Yes. And what it does is it locks it down into my subconscious mind. And it happens, however, through repetition. So it doesn't just happen because I say this one time. Now I don't feel stupid anymore. I don't feel insecure. But over and over and over, I'm doing this consistently. And then eventually that switches. We starve out the one and we feed the other. And eventually that's where we land.
So, okay. So I get this, right? So we both went to a lot of training together. We've studied together, you know, fan of Bob Proctor. And what I hear also is we talk a little bit on the show about our reticular activation system. So for those of you who don't know, it's the pencil-like structure in the back of your skull. It's above your spinal cord. And it's that thing that when you buy a new car, that's why that's the only car you see on the road. Or when you tell yourself I'm unlovable, that's why it seems like the world's against you. And so what I hear from this story is it's not about necessarily being called stupid. It's about what did you reticularly activate and what are you doing with that now? Is that along the same lines?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So yes. So like you said, if I bought a new car, then I all of a sudden I start noticing all of the that same car on the road. And when I to shift my mind is that I'm going to tap into that reticular activator. The things that are important to me are the things that are going to show up. The things are already there. Like the people that I want to connect with, they're already there. The clients that I want, the clients that your client, they're already there. They're all around us. And they might even be screaming, help me, help me. But we don't see them because they're not tapped into that part of our reticular activator. So what happens is when I begin to focus on that, all of a sudden, those things, it's not that they weren't there. I begin to recognize them. That's the difference.
So how do we jumpstart it, right? Like if we're in a tough time or we're believing a lie that we've been telling ourselves. And by the way, some of us, we're telling ourselves lies and we're, you know, we've told ourselves the same lie since we were itty bitty things. Yeah. And now that we're adults, it's like, oh, we're still believing in that. And they say, I believe transformation happens in a moment. That's me. But some people say, no, like if you're predisposed as a child to believe you're stupid, it's going to take, you know, 21 days minimum of a habit to redo that damage. How do you get out of the lies you tell yourself?
Well, I think it's through what we've been talking about is I've got to, if I understand that the problem is in the subconscious. So what most a majority of training does is it focuses on the conscious mind. We just collect all this information in our conscious mind. So it's in the subconscious that actually is where the results come from. So I have to change the subconscious mind. And by that, that's where I'm going to focus on doing things over and over. Now, things can, because the transformation can happen in a moment. And in those cases is what we call an emotional impact. So maybe you have an emotional impact. Something happens. Like if you were standing in Las Vegas whenever those shootings took place and 10 people were shot around you and you escaped, all of a sudden you begin to immediately question, what the hell is going on in my life? Why did I live? What's the purpose of my life? And now you go, bam, immediately you shift and you say, I'm quitting that job. I'm going to start that company. I'm going to write that book. I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask her to marry me. You know, it's like, I'm going to do those things that I was fearful of doing before. Bam, we just make a decision. Now, those typically are negative things like 9/11 or Las Vegas or something like that. You know, and your story is similar to that too. I don't know that it came right away, but you've got a life-threatening issue that all of a sudden caused you to think about your life differently, and you just exploded, you know, once you made a decision. And I think that is the key, is make a committed decision, not just a decision, but a committed decision, like this is what I'm going to do with my life. And then go wholeheartedly after that. You know, I do, I don't do it as much now, but I used to do mirror work, and I would look into that mirror and tell myself, I love you, Lionel. That was one of the hardest things I did. Yeah. Cause you want to look away. You're like, no, you repulse me. You look into the mirror and you're like, cause this is what we've done, is we judge ourselves more critically than anybody else would.
Yeah.
So you look in the mirror and you're like, gosh, what an idiot, Lionel. Can't believe that you did that. Can't believe that you said that. Can't believe that you blew that, you know, and we beat ourselves up. So if I reverse that out, I can look in the mirror and say, you're amazing, Lionel. I love you. Everything that you need is within you. And I begin to speak out these words to me. And the reason that that works so good is I literally look into my eyeballs. So when you look in that mirror, you look right into the soul. You look right into your eyeballs. And I'm going to tell you, it is tough at first because you look at it and you want to look away.
Yeah.
And you literally look right into your eyeballs and you do this for about 30 days. You'll start seeing some amazing things happening.
That's simple, huh?
That's one piece. Well, yeah.
after the last, yeah. Because I'm thinking about that. You know, I don't know the last time I looked in the mirror and said positive things. I've noticed my internal dialogue is usually... So they say that your subconscious, I always call it my unconscious. They're the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my internal dialogue, it's usually late at night. Like if I wake up in the middle of the night, there's negative self-chatter. And then it's first thing in the morning. And so it does become a choice to stop it immediately. And if you don't respond to it, the universe tends to get louder. And in times of COVID, we say it lights your shit up. Yes. So you're going through a lot more baggage than you normally would, because these experiences make you more of who you are, not who you want to be. And so you know, I tease you a little bit, lovingly tease you, because I'm like, you can't just look in a mirror and change your life. And yet that's the one thing I'm not doing right now, that it's like, maybe you could, maybe you couldn't. And so for the executive or the entrepreneur listening who they're experiencing a lot of negative internal dialogue, you know, it's not a bad thing to try. I think it's beautiful.
It is beautiful and it's hard. And if you do it, so let me, there's a book called Creative Visualization, and that's an excellent book. And the other one, I'll send it to you. It's across the room. And if I move my microphone will mess up. So I'll send you this other book, and it's on mirror work. But let me give you another tip that's very beneficial is write out your story as you want it to be. Because if I wrote out my story before, I might say, I'm a punk, I'm a drug addict, I'm a thief, I'm a failure and all of this. And I'm constantly saying that to myself, and it's emotional because when I say it, I could see my stepmother telling me that. I could see her looking at me telling me that. So what we want to do is change that story, change that inner dialogue. So physically write out the story that you desire. So write out what you want. I'm confident. I'm successful. People love to be around me. I'm funny. I'm passionate, you know, and you write all of this out and put it on paper. And then what I do is I record it onto my phone. So every single morning, it's my self-image script. So it's the way that I perceive myself, because we think in pictures. That's how we think. So because we think in pictures, I need a picture of who I expect myself to be, who I want to be. So then what I do when I get up in the morning, first thing I go downstairs, grab my tea, is I put my phone on and I listen to it. Now mine is about 6 minutes long and it's very empowering. And I'll tell you, at first, like some of the stuff I wrote on there, you're like, what a big fat liar. You know, that's how it feels. It feels like you're a liar. This stuff isn't true. Well, reality is, it's not true right now in the physical, but I need it to become true in my mind first, because everything is created twice. It's first created in our mind, and then it shows up in reality. So when I read that and listen to that every day, all of a sudden, I become that. We become what we think about. Earl Nightingale, one of my favorite quotes, he says, we become what we think about. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, or as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. So I need to just change those thoughts. And as I do that over and over, all of a sudden, the things that seemed like so far out, so wild, all of a sudden it becomes natural. It becomes the way that it is. And now it's not odd. When somebody calls you stupid, you're like, you just laugh that off.
I love that so, so much. And I think, you know, the thing is so many times we tend to overcomplicate things. And the beauty is in the simple, and the beauty is in not necessarily how complicated you can make something, but what's a simple thing that you can do every day that will create massive change? I think that's such a brilliant point is, y'all, we don't need to make this complicated.
That's right. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And it's hopeful.
And it is, I will tell you this, and for your listeners, is stick with it. Just stick with it. Write your story out and stick with it, because what you just said is what pops into people's mind. They go, this is stupid. This isn't doing anything. This isn't having any effect. It just makes me feel worse, you know? And you stick with it. And because it's time, you know, we didn't learn to tie our shoes in a day. We didn't learn our ABCs in a day. It was repetition, spaced repetition, over and over and over. We did it. And then eventually, you know, now you just reach down and you're walking down the road with somebody. You don't even think about it. You reach down and you tie your shoe and you continue talking and it doesn't faze you. Yeah. So that's what we need is just the consistency of it. So that's what I do every day. That's part of my morning every day. And then when I come up into my office, I sit down and I visualize. I visualize my life. I visualize my clients. I visualize people that I'm working with. And I see the success. And as I see it in my mind, what I'm doing, because I'm getting emotional with it, that's me. That's the glue. I'm locking that down into my subconscious mind.
And the emotion's key, right? Like I can't just, you know, circumvent my negative thoughts without emotion behind it. I have to actually jump into that emotion.
That's right. And those emotions on the reverse side are the same thing, because let's just say earlier you said a thought pops into my mind. Well, I can reject that thought. But let's say that something traumatic happened, somebody was abused. Okay. Let's say that somebody was abused. Well, what happens every time they think about that? What does it do? It stirs up that emotion and it locks that thing in. So they've got to release that. And that is going to, I guess that's another story, but that's going to come through forgiveness, you know, and I've got to be able to release that and I've got to replace it with something different. But the emotion works on both sides. Like if I failed, if I went on a sales meeting and I completely blew it, and now I get emotional with it and I'm like, oh, you're such an idiot. I can't believe you said that. And I'm emotionalizing that. I'm locking it in. And now the next time I go to that sales meeting, what happens? That gets recalled. And then I start going, oh my gosh, I'm going to fail at this. This is going to be terrible. And then I just, you know, I prophesied exactly what's about to happen. So rather, ooh, I do the opposite. I look at it and I, you know, if I failed the last time, I learned from it and I come into it and I sit back a few minutes before and I go, what are my thoughts, my conscious thoughts? What do I think about? I mean, what are my, what are my thoughts about this meeting? And I say, I feel great about this. You know, this meeting is going to be great. I'm so prepared. I'm such a great listener. I am going to meet every need that they have. I'm going to answer their questions. They're going to be so happy. Okay, great. Then what are my feelings? So that's conscious. Then I go to subconscious. What are my feelings about this? I feel great. I feel very excited. I'm enthusiastic. You know, I feel excellent about this. I'm energetic. And then what are my actions? That's where they come through the body. So then my actions are, you know, I'm going to provide them a great presentation here. And then I'm going to ask for the sale and they're going to want to work with me. So what I did in that process was that all happened in 2 minutes. I sat back and thought about my thoughts, my feelings, and my actions. And I projected exactly the way I want it to be. And I can shift it that fast because it's a choice.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, I've gotten so much out of this and I've learned so much from you. If there's somebody listening right now and they want your coaching, because we're going to have a call after this, you know, I might be one of your coaching clients. it's so good what you're teaching. How does somebody find you?
So they can go to my website at my first and last name, which is Lionel Wilson, LIONEL. Which means lion-like. And I love that. Thanks, Mom. And and Wilson, just WILSON. So if you go to lionelwilson.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will put that for sure in the show notes. Do you have any parting words of wisdom or any parting words of advice for all of our friends listening?
Well, I would say the two things that I mentioned, I would definitely do those, because our self-image, the image that we hold of ourselves, I feel like that is the core, is that because if we think negatively about ourselves, we're going to perform negative. And all of that is subconscious, because people show up, you know, I show up with my suit and tie or however I dress up, you know, and everything looks great, but inside they're broken and hurting and they feel terrible about themselves. So we've got to make that change. A good friend of mine, Kevin Hall, he wrote the book Aspire, and it's discovering your purpose through the power of words. And mm-hmm. In that, he has the first word in there is called Genshai. And Genshai means this, Kaylin. It means never treat another person in such a way that causes them to feel small, including yourself. Mm. So treat yourself well. Treat yourself well. And speak well of yourself. You know, I heard it said one time, if I spoke to you the way that I spoke to myself, would we still be friends?
Wow. I've heard that. You know, wow. Okay. So I've heard that.
I don't know where it came. I'm not taking credit for it. I heard it somewhere and I don't know who to give credit for. But yeah, so speak well to yourself. And that's what we were talking about, is I'm looking in the mirror and I'm speaking powerful words to myself. I'm, you know, I'm writing it out. I'm listening to it. And we're good at being good to other people, but typically we're not really good at being good to ourselves. So be good to yourself. Love yourself. Tell yourself that you love yourself.
Be good to yourself. Well, thank you, Lionel, for coming on Elevation Nation today. You heard it here first, everybody. We will put his website in the show notes. take some time. Make some time for yourself today. Be good to yourself. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kaylin. Appreciate it.